My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Jones fakes the give on 2nd and 8. Pumps, and he's going to be sacked. No, he gets rid of it last moment. It's picked off for a touchdown.
There's your
Jalen
guy.
Petrie to the end zone. Pick 6, short range.
Into right field, here comes Leon. Pedro is going to make a catch at his ankles for the final out of the game. Leon picks that one off the turf as he just barely gets to that ball around ankle high for the final out. A 3-pitcher combined shutout. The Astros win the series. They now maintain their 4-game lead in the AL West.
Yeah. Hey.
How about a little bit of Framber Valdez in your life?
That's it, man. Mm. A little Framber Valdez, a little Jalen Petrie, little Texans. Hey, Ben.
Who's the better quarterback, Daniel Jones or Framber Valdez?
Framber, easily.
Yeah. You'd be a better quarterback
now. A little dicey about a lefty. You know,
might have to explain the rules of the game to
him. A little quirky,
you know,
there's that.
I don't know if he was a huge football fan or not.
I don't think there's much doubt, man. And I don't think there's much doubt. We got a lot of good news this weekend. Have you heard it? Have you heard the good news? Because we got good news on the Astros front. We got good news on the Texans front. The Astros, a 4-game lead now in the AL West.
Oh,
they take 2 out of 3 from the White Sox.
Oh, they've got a lead that they can divide by 2. That's crazy. That's
it
crazy.
Is. It is.
You can lose half of your next 4 games and still be up by, well, no.
They're up by 2 on the Mariners twice. That's what they are.
Yeah.
The Astros up by 4 on the Mariners, and the Texans. The Texans looked really good against the Giants, and it's a preseason game. It's a team that sucks. But they destroyed, other than a flurry of Daniel Jones circus passes to Malik Nabers in the 2nd quarter, they took that bad team to the woodshed.
Sean, I saw you this morning and I just went into an immediate tirade. Because as we saw, Daniel Jones was horrendous in that game. Even on his passes to Malik Nabers, he was horrendous.
Low percentage, irreplicable throws.
You know how good you have to be to undo all of the damage you've done already. You know, you can't do that unless you're like one of the really special quarterbacks. Like Tom Brady's allowed to throw 3 picks in 90 seconds and then still come back.
Yeah.
But I got a text from a really smart friend of mine. About, like, so Daniel Jones got cut, huh? What are you guys going to... I'm like, what are you talking about? I have zero clue. This is my job. What are you talking about? I got, like, 10 different messages from people about Daniel Jones getting cut.
Wow.
Apparently, like, some people with some blue check marks and a bunch of followers had tweeted out that Daniel Jones got cut. But the problem was, I had to spend time debunking what somebody had told me because, as improbable as it would be, and as economically unviable as it would be, I actually wouldn't be 100% surprised if Daniel Jones got cut.
It was a cuttable performance by Daniel Jones.
Joe Shane is in a position right now where Malik Nabers might be good enough to prop up Daniel Jones enough that Daniel Jones gets his third contract.
Yeah, they've done
this. And then they'll let Malik Nabers go.
That's what happened in 2022.
Yeah. I really like him though. So, yeah, the Texans,
he's our most popular player.
I think the most encouraging thing, and I'm not like I'm not being snarky about the Giants being a bad team. So discount all the stuff the Texans did. I think the Texans did what you should do versus a bad team. A bad team in the Giants, it still does have some big names. And
especially defensively.
Spent heavily in free agency, yeah. Everything there. They did some good things. They did some really good things. The Dameon Pierce conundrum remains the biggest mystery on this team right now. I doubt we'll see Joe Mixon in a game uniform before
week one.
Before week one,
yeah.
Which it's a little bit of a... It's a leap of faith right now that it's just going to be that much better. But the starters versus other team starters, the Texans haven't been able to run the ball.
Yeah, they haven't. They haven't. Now, they did move the ball very efficiently through the air until they got to the red zone. That was my first big takeaway was, okay, CJ was making all the throws he was making last year. Even the ones that got called back because of penalties. I mean, that throw, the two
one
throws,
that Brevin Jordan's got, the holding, that, yeah, boy, that was a beautiful play.
That was to Tank. That's the one I'm talking about. There were two throws that CJ made in that game where I'm like, okay, if I'm the rest of the league, I'm like, ah, crap. he's good again this year. It was the throw to Tank Dell on the play where there was a hold from Brevin Jordan. And then when after the Stingley interception, when they were backed up on their 1 yard line, they tried to run the ball out of the end zone on first down with Dameon Pierce, who barely got out of the end zone.
Yeah.
And then on second down, they just go empty. They go five wide empty, and CJ just pops one to Dalton Schultz for 26 yards. And that's the one where if I'm the other team or other teams watching that game, I'm like, we're supposed to be able to rationalize interceptions inside the five-yard line as a punt that pins them deep.
Right.
And he just drops back, and there's clutter there, but it doesn't matter. Just whoop. Right to Dalton Schultz.
It's 7-on-7.
It's 7-on-7,
you know,
yeah.
Which is a loaded drill. The 7-on-7 is, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool to see. And so that part of it is fun.
Yeah.
The offensive line, I'm encouraged about the offensive line.
What'd you think of Scruggs and Kenyon Green?
Good. Yeah. Just good. Yeah. Especially in pass protection versus a really good defensive line.
Yeah.
So it's preseason. I don't know. You never know how much a guy like Dexter Lawrence might be phoning in or not, but that's the guy that showed up on the field and he didn't do much. The one batted pass that he had in the red zone was because he was stuck at the line of scrimmage. So that was how he made an impact on that play.
Oh boy, did you watch Blake Fisher and Brian Burns on that play? Brian Burns spin moved Blake Fisher like Blake Fisher was still in his 3-point stance. and Brian Burns. Go back and find it, Seth. Brian Burns eased up on C.J. Stroud. He could have waylaid C.J. Stroud. And I don't know if it's a sportsmanship thing or if he was just nervous about a 15-yard penalty.
That's not the time you want to get a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
A fine, for more
specifically. And it's in the red zone, too. And it was fourth down. That's probably most of why, because it was fourth down and you're getting off the field. But, boy, Brian Burns could have really, really destroyed. And then the narrative becomes like, why is CJ out there with a rookie left tackle?
Yeah.
It was bad.
That was when they went empty like that, too. That is also out there with a rookie left tackle.
Yeah, man.
So this is where I am with Blake Fisher. Blake Fisher had some also really good reps against Brian Burns.
He did.
But it's always that, remember the old full, the guy with the Polynesian name.
Xavier Suofilo?
Xavier Suofilo.
Yeah.
So, Xavier Suofilo, remember, he looked really, really good for stretches.
Yeah.
Until he got beat really bad.
The bad was bad.
Yeah, and it's hard with an offensive lineman, even though offensive linemen like to say, well, I played a great game except for those two snaps. That's the point.
Yep.
You can't get beat so fast that your quarterback isn't even at the back of his drop before you get hit.
Yeah.
So, with Blake Fisher, it's the consistency right now. I am optimistic about him in the long term. It's all right, but how quickly can you continue to progress? Especially, it's hard to go from left to right, and he did it in college, but it's just at a different level in the NFL. So if he has to play left tackle or right tackle, that becomes that one more thing that might slow him down.
Yep. John Metchie was a big story in this game. John Metchie is somebody who, at least among media types like myself, was on the bubble, is on the bubble, maybe still. Who knows? It's one game. But I think everybody's rooting for John Metchie for sure. He had a big game. He had a big game on Saturday. He had six catches, 68 yards, A touchdown, got in the end zone for the first time in his NFL career. Here was C.J. Stroud on John Metchie's big day.
First and foremost, just want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Metchie's been working really hard. You know, he's a great friend of mine, somebody who I have a lot of love for. And, you know, it's just exciting to see him and him able to put all his talents and things on display. So, you know, I'm really excited for him. I think he's going to be a great addition to our team, and you know, to be able to have him fully healthy and you know, feeling back in football shape. So, you know, I'm very excited for him, and it's only just beginning for him.
My feeling on Metchie for the last few weeks has been it's going to end one of two ways for him in this camp. He's either making the team or he's getting traded. I don't think he gets cut because I think he's got value. But his value now after Saturday looks like the possession arrow might be pointed towards his value being with the Texans,
well,
which is great.
You know, and the one other option would have been if you try to stash him on practice squad. But the Texans were in that bind of, all right, man, we got to see if this guy keeps developing. He shows up on film, and now I don't think you could stash him on practice squad. Well, you would get, because once you're on practice squad, you're a free agent.
But he'd have to clear waivers to get to the practice squad.
Yeah, that's right. So I don't think somebody would pick him up.
Someone would pick him up. Yeah. So Metchie, really good game. The defense. We heard Petrie's pick six coming in. Derek Stingley Jr. had another Derek Stingley Jr. pick. It was a bad throw by Daniel Jones. He should have put more air under it, obviously. But man, Stingley might have the best hands on the team.
I think he's remarkable. I think Daniel Jones might have been trying to go back shoulder on him or something, which is a dumb thing to do on Derek Stingley. go back shoulder on the guys that don't look back for the ball and all of that. Like, there's no back shouldering Derek Stingley without being at extreme risk for interception, especially when it wasn't even a good back shoulder throw.
You had a tweet about Petrie last night.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
I don't even remember.
You did. You were excited about him. Yeah, you were excited about his tackle.
I forgot about I never know which outlet I'm putting stuff out on.
It was the artist.
I forgot I had done Twitter. That. I was just like, supposedly I'm supposed to be active on X. I can't. Okay, here you go. Jalen Petrie. So, again, I got annoyed because I tweeted that out and then people kept pointing out, well, it was a preseason game. I don't care about the fact that it was a preseason game. There's certain parts of the fundamentals of Jalen Petrie's game that have gotten a lot better, specifically his tackling. So, there were two things. For one, the play he made in the backfield showed really good veteran-type patience in terms of settling down, lowering and then making the tackle.
Well, he's been working on it.
Like, I could totally see a version of Jalen Petrie that would have gone after Daniel Jones and hit him after the ball had already been handed off or something like that. But then he's got his arms out wide. Like, he's using good tackling technique. And then the other play where he caught the ball caught out in the flat, like, instead of going for a monstrous hit, he settled in, lowered his pad level, and secured the tackle. In previous years, that would have been a hip drop. Somebody would have hip dropped it because that's a perfect situation. And I was glad because it showed. I used to get so upset at people decrying the banning of the hip drop because the hip drop's a lazy play.
Right.
It means you don't want it. It means you want to stop dropping your driving your feet and just actually making a tackle. Jalen kept driving his feet. He ended up getting the ball carrier to the sideline and then he started going for the ball. He had Alshire coming in. You know, to swarm to
clean
the
it up.
Yeah. Yep. So the fundamentals, regardless of whether it's preseason or what opponent you're playing, the fundamentals you can see are definitely different for him this year.
Yeah, it's a great observation on Petrie. It was good to see, man. 28-10, they beat the Giants, and the Astros take 2 out of 3 from the White Sox. They expand their lead. They're up 4 games. Times are good. Things are good. No more Saturdays without college football. It's a great time to be alive, man. Yeah, college
football. We got Canadian football up on the TV this morning.
No more Wednesdays without Canadian football. What days do they play in the Canadian Football League? They play on weekends?
They go on the metric system up there, so I don't even know if the days are the same.
I don't know what they're named.
I think today is Thursday in Canada.
Yes.
Yeah.
Today
and
is,
it's spelled with a 2 U's.
Today is fromage.
They put a U at the end of every day.
There you go. All right.
One dog.
Yep. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday. We're reacting to everything today. Up next, let's shift over to the Astros. I have crossed over. The one thing we've been watching with the Astros in this entire race that they've been in, I have flipped now. I've got my eyes on something else when it comes to the Astros in this season. We'll get you up to speed on everything and an injury that kind of popped up late last week that could be problematic for the Astros. We'll get to that Coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Altuve hits one high, hits one deep, hits one into the proper boxers, 2-0 Astros.
Altuve with the insurance. He asked for that extra run. You're going to get it. That was a hanging slider on the outer third, elevated. Jose Altuve got to it and just flipped it into the Crawford boxes.
That was a big run for a lot of people yesterday. Seth, is somebody who I know you've dipped your toe into the waters of the dark arts of late, the gambling world.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big run because there was no value betting the Astros yesterday. They were minus 350, to which in baseball is like... That's like a football game with a 20-point spread. Mm-hmm. Like a minus 350 in a baseball game means you got to lay 350 right. to win $100. In baseball, a line being above minus 300 is almost unheard of. You had minus 350 with a lineup where the Astros, where the two corner infielders were in Sugar Land like 2 weeks ago.
If I were cold-hearted and calculating and could set my fandom aside, would it have been a smart bet to go for the White Sox just based on...
Value it might have been, and the game was close. On value it might have been. Now, some of us out there, or some people, maybe, you can lay 1.5 runs and get a little bit less that you have to risk.
Sure, I know what that means.
The Astros have to win by more than one run.
I'm nodding. Yes,
Yeah. They have to win. And that Altuve home run in the eighth inning was our last chance to get more than a one-run lead. And by God, the little fella took care of it.
Mm.
Got us a 2-0 lead. That was a good degenerate home run right there.
It was
there
a
by
good,
Altuve.
And as far as just playing the White Sox and after getting a little bit of a, oh crap, what's going on here? Are they playing down to the opponent?
Yeah.
It's just these, the Astros in a precarious position where sometimes I'll fall into like, oh, why are they performing like this? And then you have to remember like everything you just mentioned, some of the guys they have playing on the team right now. It's not a full force. This is not your uncle's Astros.
No, their infield, and Altuve was the DH yesterday. So Yordan was not in the lineup. So you had an infield of DiCenzo, Whitcomb, Dubon, and then and obviously Peña, who would play every day the entire calendar year if he could.
It felt like the old days where you just kind of take a Sunday afternoon off and figure, well, yeah, these guys, we got a
blue
tough
loss.
Stretch. You got 12 contenders. Yeah. You got a stretch now coming up where you play 12 contenders in a row.
Yeah.
Playoff contenders.
Yeah.
And it's not so easy. So, all right, let's rest everybody on Sunday and maybe we'll, you know, be full force for this tough stretch.
Yeah, they're in a tough stretch. They play a bunch of days in a row here coming up against, as Seth points out, against good opponents. The Red Sox this week, who they did sweep in Boston fairly recently. They've got the Orioles. They go to Baltimore. They got Philly coming up. So it's a tough stretch coming up. And with all that said, Seth, I know one thing about these Astros. They play well against good teams. It's the playing down to the level of opponents that's been an issue over the last couple years. They play well against good teams. And for that reason, this four-game lead they have on Seattle, I'm not focused on that anymore. Seattle stinks. I'm not focused on that. The AL West will be ours. Once again, I am looking at the five-game deficit, six-game deficit, somewhere in there, to get us back into that the hallowed grounds of not having to play a wild card round.
To out of the three-game series in the wild card.
I don't
where
want anything
just,
to do with that.
There's so much luck involved with
yes.
that. You can be a really good baseball team that just has a couple of bad days, and boom, you're out.
That's it. So that's what I'm focused on now, catching the Yankees, the Orioles, the Guardians, the Twins, those are Guardians, and I think the Yankees lead their divisions right now. Maybe the Orioles do. I don't know. The Yankees lost again yesterday. Who the hell knows? But that's, I'm so focused, I don't even know who they're chasing. But
yeah.
that's what I think it's in play now. They're going to get Verlander back here soon. We should mention that. He had a good bullpen this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He hopefully feels good this morning.
And he's got his gas.
If he feels good this morning, then he's pitching Wednesday against the Boston Red Sox on Wednesday afternoon. 1 o'clock start.
I like that it's the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I like that it's, this is good. This
good
is
stuff.
Good. This is good stuff. This
yep.
is the August feeling that I'd missed, Sean.
Yeah.
A little bit of cockiness. Undeserved by myself. I didn't do anything to earn it, but
yeah.
I'm starting to get a little bit cocky.
Yeah.
But also peeing a little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yiner had a home run yesterday, got robbed, and then hit a bomb a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Got really robbed. 3-run home run. That would have made things a whole lot easier yesterday watching that game. And Framber was great again. Framber and Hunter Brown are going to get acknowledged today. Spoiler.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They've both been amazing since
June
1st.
Yeah, I'd be upset if you didn't acknowledge Framber.
Yeah. So would he, probably. Mm. Someone points out on the text page, you said in the open, who's better quarterback, Framber Valdez or Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
Someone says, can you imagine Framber's body language as a QB when a receiver drops a pass? He's gotten better.
There's a play clock
better.
Just like there's a pitch clock. We would worry 2 years ago,
yeah.
I'd have been like, I don't know how Framber will deal with the pace of the game.
Right.
He might, when he needs to collect himself. Now, I'd be like, yeah, no big deal. I feel like Framber take a sack and just hop right up, do his little breathing through his eyelids
yeah,
and whatnot.
That's right.
And be good to go.
Okay, this Bregman elbow.
The Bregman, the offensive line blocking, I don't know if the pass game is fine. It's a run game, but yes.
Yeah.
So.
The Bregman elbow injury. So we teased coming into this thing. If you missed it, Alex Bregman supposedly slept on his elbow wrong. Let's do Bregman one here. Here's Alex Bregman on Friday, I believe, explaining why he was not in the lineup and will not be in the lineup at least for a few games.
I got some swelling in my throwing elbow. Slept on it wrong. Feel like a few days and I'll be able to come back strong and feel good. Showed no, I have no damage of any of the ligaments or anything like that. Just something that I'm going to have to take a few days for. And obviously it's pretty unfortunate because I'm swinging the bat really well right now. I'm playing really well. So hopefully come back in a few days and be ready to roll. And yeah, this has no long-term effect or anything like that. It's just something I got to knock out right now and come back.
Knock it out. Okay, so no IL for Bregman. He's still sitting on the bench, sitting with the squad. Slept on it wrong.
Mm.
So do you know when it happened, Alex Bregman?
When did it happen?
Not really sure. Slept on it. Woke up. Didn't really feel that great a few days ago. And just kind of played through it for a day. And yeah.
I had a friend once who he woke up and his arm was all messed up. Yeah. Turned out he had a broken clavicle. The problem was is because he had been sleeping in a ditch after he fell off a bike
oh.
that he was riding while drunk off his butt. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So there was more to the story.
Yeah.
He did wake up with a broken clavicle.
Well,
But it was after he had fallen off his drunken bicycle.
Okay.
The bike was drunk,
now,
too.
Now, do we know what Alex Bregman does once he leaves the stadium and goes to bed at night?
No, he might have. Yeah, I don't know.
He got on a bike?
Now, I would say there is a chance that if you slept on it wrong and it's something, if you sleep on it wrong, that's a one-dayer, you know, because it does happen in baseball. You sleep on it wrong, pitchers sleep on their arm wrong and they're a mess the next day, but that subsides generally. I'm guessing if it is true that he did indeed fall asleep and then wake up with a bum elbow, but he's going to be out multiple days, that maybe there's some kind of pre-existing condition and
that's
it just
thinking,
worsened whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I don't, like, he's had a lot of surgeries through the years, like loose bodies or something like that.
Yeah, which should make it super easy to figure out when he's coming back, I'm sure.
Would you prefer, you know, and honestly, though, I like it when they keep it. This is what Bregman would do. Bregman just, if he were to perhaps not be completely honest with an injury, he just comes up with the simplest explanation. I don't need a story about a massage therapist breaking his ribs or anything like that.
No, I don't.
Even though that is one of the fun parts of baseball is people making up stories about why they got injured.
Right.
I do prefer when they just keep it vanilla, nice and straightforward, no wasted movement. I slept on it wrong.
I guess the good news would be, well, let's hear from Espada first. When do we expect Alex Bregman to come back?
He's going to start hitting here in the next day or two, so I hope so. I think there's a strong possibility that he could play in that series. Yes.
Okay, so that and the series he's talking about is the Boston series coming up starting today. I guess if we're to take Bregman's couple cuts there, we played at face value where he said it started a few days ago. That interview was on Friday. I guess the good news is that when it started feeling bad, when it started hurting, he was in the midst of a stretch where he was hitting a home run every day.
Right, right.
You know, so he was hitting with
that.
He was player of the week in the AL.
But Alex Bregman is he's a finely tuned ecosystem.
He is.
You know, if things aren't perfectly right and going the way, then he can get wobbled off the train tracks or thrown off the drunken bicycle. I don't, that makes me nervous that, okay, oh yeah, it'll just be a few days off and then it'll be back to the same old Alex Bregman. I'm going to be very, very attuned to exactly how those first few at-bats go.
Someone is pointing out on the text page, you know who? Oh, it's Middle Screen. Middle Screen's mad at the kid in right field who didn't catch the Yiner, what would have been the 3-run home run for Yiner Diaz, and he let the right fielder catch it. If that kid catches the ball, doesn't let the right fielder rob Yiner, they don't have to pitch Abreu and Hader yesterday.
Yeah.
Just brutal.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Man, step your game
up,
kid.
Let's find that kid's name out.
Yes.
Let's go back and
find the video.
Let's publicly torch him.
No. Let's not even joke about that.
I saw, I was watching all the different highlights from the games this week. And after Caleb Williams' touchdown run, which is really nice, but I mean, it was at the end of the second quarter versus guys, they weren't even backups. Some of those guys were undrafted rookie free agents.
That they were going against?
Yeah, that the Bears were going against. But there was a guy in the end zone who was just beaming, and he was right down near the wall, you know, and I couldn't help but think, like, oh, this is the opposite of Bartman. This is the opposite of Steve Bartman. You know, and like this guy was probably 30 years old. He had to grow up listening to his father probably rant at the dinner table about Steve Bartman 15 years after the fact. But now, they in their minds, Caleb Williams has come to deliver them from whatever hell they're in, including, you know, sports hell.
Yeah, well, quarterback hell for sure. I saw you did a video on that throw that he had.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive.
It was an incredible
leaning
impressive
into that
throw.
Caleb Williams on your YouTube channel.
The Chicago fans are hungry for it. I gotta try to broaden the fan base a little bit. I'm very open and honest about it. I still have big questions about Caleb Williams and just him doing the simple stuff, the boring stuff. He makes all these circus throws, but then he used the exact same mechanics for like a 5-yard screen. I'm like, dude, you don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be. It's almost, sometimes it's almost as bad as the college quarterback who does the jump pass.
Yeah.
Remember Case had a little bit of that in him when his first couple years? He would try the jump pass for God knows what reason.
Yeah.
And when you didn't need to do it.
That's the Mahomes thing. But everybody thinks they're Mahomes.
But the problem is, even when Mahomes is throwing off platform and everything, he's still got his feet planted in the ground and all. It's just, it's like when you're teaching kids to write and like in high school, English teachers in middle screen will appreciate this. You know, it's you're not allowed to write like a writer that abandons punctuation for artistic purposes until you prove that you can like do it the
do
right
the basics.
Way.
First. That's a great analogy.
Like
yeah.
once you really master the basics, then you can freelance a little
bit. Right, right.
You don't
right.
go off playing jazz piano when you can't get your damn chords right.
Can't even
first,
do chopsticks.
You know?
Yeah. Text message, will we see British Brooks get some Pierce snaps with the ones and twos this week? He seems like a short yardage goal line wrecking ball. British Brooks looks the part, and he had two touchdowns in the game on Saturday against the, whatever, the threes and fours of the Giants. Here's the thing. If he gets snaps with the ones and twos, it won't be against the Rams in the game. The ones and yeah. twos aren't going to be playing in that game. But it does highlight, I think, a bigger issue than just, is British Brooks going to get these carries? Yeah. It's what the hell's going on with Damian
okay,
Pierce.
So this is the thing with Damian Pierce, is it's complicated in that the blocking has not been pristine. So there are a lot of times where the blocking is very imperfect, and maybe the play should be dead in the water. But that does happen in the NFL, and that's where the 1 yard per carry comes into it. When you watch like Cam Akers cut against the grain on imperfect blocking, because that wasn't even like a normal zone run cutback. He had to stop in his tracks and then bounce it to the outside. It works because of the zone blocking, but it wasn't a perfectly blocked play. Like Damian just, he's not showing any ability to make something out of nothing. So the 1 yard per carry is where it's real, in that a good running back, even with bad blocking, is still going to get 3 yards per carry.
That's right.
And that's where I get nervous with Damian right now, that, all right, the run blocking is bad, but you're making it worse. And he doesn't, on that kickoff return, I felt like that was the biggest display of just, there's being almost something, there's just something wrong with the way he's feeling the game right now, because it's, when it's time to make a decision, even if things are imperfect and hitting it, he's hesitating and he's pausing and he's kind of almost like tiptoeing his way into contact. He's not breaking tackles the way he did when he was a younger
player. Not even close.
And this is probably overly simplified, but there's still a big part of me that wonders, man, whatever body weight he was his rookie year, I know he's trimmed down and everything, like, that was what was working for you.
Yeah.
That was what was, you could take a play that had imperfect blocking and make something out of it because you were evasive by breaking tackles, and he just doesn't have that right now.
We'll get into that more at 7 o'clock. We got all our stock up, stock down, things we're feeling good about, things that need improvement for the Texans. We'll get into that at the top of the hour. Speaking of the Texans, hey, close out their preseason schedule, they close out their preseason schedule against the Rams on Saturday, and we've got your tickets again tomorrow, Texans Ticket Tuesday. So listen in the 7 a.m., the noon, and the 5 p.m. hours for your shot at a pair of front row seats in the bullpen. The best seats in the house could be yours. All you have to do, keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610 all day long tomorrow on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Up next, headlines. We'll circle back to the Astros again. Good weekend for the Astros, I would say, overall. The Texans and some news going on around the NFL, including a big signing and a decision at quarterback for one of the teams in the NFL. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
And Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Astros. They take 2 out of 3 from the Chicago White Sox over the weekend. They're 4 games up in the AL West right now. It's hard to believe, man. Like literally two months and a day ago, they were 10 games back of the Mariners, and now they're 4 games ahead of the Mariners. What a disaster in Seattle. But I'm here for it. Framber Valdez, excellent again yesterday. 7 shutout innings, only threw 82 pitches. Here was Joe Espada on Framber yesterday.
That's what we expect out of Framber. Just quality starts after quality starts. Really, really good. Stuff was unbelievable how good it was. Fastball, breaking ball, everything in the zone, you know. So, strong performance.
The crazy thing is Framber might not even be the best pitcher on his own team since June 1st. Mm-hmm. And he's been amazing. He's been 8-0. Since losing to the White Sox on June 17th or 18th, whatever it was, that the game that they fell 10 games back was a game they lost 2-0 with Framber on the mound, ironically, in Chicago. And since that game, Framber is 8-0. He started 10 games, and they've won all 10 of those games the Astros have. So he's been amazing, and he might not even be the best pitcher on the staff in that time. Hunter Brown's been just as good as
right,
Framber Valdez.
Right, yeah. It'd be a fun debate, depending on, you know, who you were facing in the playoffs and what the rest
lefty
situation
righty,
was like.
Yeah.
You could feel really good about both those options.
Yep.
And Kikuchi is that's a whole nother, just because Kikuchi wasn't here on June 1st.
Right.
You can't really talk about comparing them. But this last stretch, I think, has really been a testament to the Astros as an organization. Their ability to take a pipeline that it's years now that we've been reading about how bereft the Astros pipeline is. And then these guys who aren't top 100 prospects come up and end up being much, much better than almost everybody above them on the prospects list.
Yeah.
And that's the development, especially with the pitchers, that they're able to get out of these guys.
At the very least, the prospect, Hunter Brown's been elite.
Yeah.
So that he's in a different category. But at the very least, guys like Spencer Arrighetti, the two infielders they were playing yesterday, a few of the outfielders they've had out there at times. I mean, Pedro León was playing right. They had DeZenzo, Whitcomb, and León in the lineup yesterday with no Yordan Alvarez. They only scored two runs. I get it. But even the guys like that that have been able to come up and just be sort of, you know, duct tape or spackle on this thing to get you, you
nobody
know.
Nobody does duct tape like the Astros,
nobody,
baby.
Man.
Nobody.
Nobody. It's the new marketing
campaign. They could actually tell. They're the one entity that could tell us whether it's duct tape or duct tape.
That's true.
Kids, never use duct tape on your, I call it duct tape, not duct, because you're not supposed to use it on ducts, ever.
Oh, like, really?
It's really bad for ducts.
But you are supposed to use it on ducks?
Yes. That's what I use it for specifically.
To tape ducks.
Yeah, I tape ducks
tape
together.
Tape their beaks shut. Yeah. Shut up!
They hate me. I'm banned from Herman Park. I'm not allowed. I get it.
PETA's waiting for Seth Payne at Herman Park. But your point is a great one. The minor league system, they've found enough down there, at least, to kind of get by here this season. The other big thing, they get Verlander back, it looks like, on Wednesday this week. He had a bullpen yesterday, assuming that he feels good, didn't sleep on his elbow wrong like Bregman. He will be back, and it sounds like Wednesday against Boston. Here's Joe Espada on.
It's huge, not only what he does in the mound, but his presence in the clubhouse, having him around, you know, down in pennant race, his experience down in pennant race, what he means to every time he takes on the mound, what he brings out of the rest of the group. It's huge.
Yeah. That's the added value of having Verlander. It's like the guys on the Texans that they gave big money to. You know, having Danielle Hunter in the defensive line room, having Joe Mixon in the running back room, all those things.
You know, the cool story, Chandler Ohm has a story this morning or yesterday. I haven't read it yet, but it's about the minor leaguers and how impressed they were with Verlander's just intensity in a rehab start. It reminded me of that story that a guy had told me a long time ago. Some guy that played like Double A and never made it past that. It said that Roger Clemens was down for a rehab start, and he's like, "This it was scary.
Yeah.
It was scary how intense this guy was." And then like just his workouts on the stationary bike were crazy and insane. It's good.
It's good.
I like hearing minor league reports about Verlander just treating a minor league rehab start like it's the World Series.
That's how they stick around till they're in their 40s, man. That's how they do it. Bregman's got an elbow issue. He's been out a few days. We'll see. Espada said maybe back for Boston this week. Ryan Presley goes to the IL. 15-day trip to the IL. In a weird way, I was kind of happy about this, only because maybe that explains why he hasn't been as good lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I hate seeing anybody get injured, but Ryan Presley, all of a sudden, his last three or four outings, has given up runs. He's not looked good. He's had control issues. It's a back, is what they're saying. He's got a back issue. So he goes to the 15-day IL. That happened over the weekend. That happened on Saturday. Let's flip over to the Texans.
On 2nd and 9, here's Brooks running left, stringing it out wide across the 10.
Nice
5
run.
To the goal line. Touchdown number 2, British Brooks.
Yeah, we'll talk about the running back competition more in the 7 o'clock hour because Damian Pierce is obviously a huge storyline with this team. But the Texans beat the Giants 28-10 on Saturday, and they got great things from all levels of the depth chart on Saturday.
They did a good job. I think the biggest takeaway for me was that this is the ball-hawking, fumble-forcing defense that D'Amico really wants. Yeah. And what, like, D'Amico's...
Five turnovers. Yeah.
Which, unless you're... Unless you're David Culley in the game in which they lost because...
And they forced 5 turnovers.
But he said, you can't win when you give the ball up 4 times. And you guys were positive in the turnover margin.
Yeah, they turned
so,
it over 5.
Generally, if you force 5 turnovers, it's really hard to lose that football game. Yeah. So that's what you saw. You saw a lopsided score that didn't necessarily reflect an absolute dominance offensively or anything. It was that they forced 5 turnovers. And that's what you should get. and we didn't see the full force pass rush out there. You know, the Jalen Petrie interception was gratis of a Derek Barnett pressure.
Yeah.
There was, so there's that part of it, getting heat up front, creating opportunities for guys on the back end, that was all there. Did you ever, were you able to figure out who exactly caused the fumble that Lonnie Johnson recovered?
It was Thule.
I know. Well, Thule clubbed it, but that was in God's shaft of sunlight.
They showed Thule punch it out.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
like, from the side where you could actually see the ball come out?
It was a close-up. Like almost like an angle, like if they were shooting it from the visitor's tunnel.
Yeah.
So they got the side of the opposite side of the hard camera.
Okay, so Thule definitely knocked it out,
and it sort of landed in Lonnie Johnson's arms.
Somebody fact checked me on it yesterday and said, no, that was Lonnie's. Like, all right, okay.
Lonnie recovered it.
Right, Thule forced it.
Yeah. So that was cool. Dude, did you see the reaction Lonnie got when he got that recovery? Like, that team mobbed him on the sidelines.
Everybody was getting mobbed, though.
Okay.
I feel like that's a good team.
So I was going to ask you, you think it's a Lonnie thing or it's a team thing?
I think it's a team thing.
Okay.
Because I noticed that with everybody, there was just mass mobs every time somebody had a huge play, which is good.
Yeah.
It's kind of enthusiasm you want in an otherwise meaningless game.
Five turnovers.
But I do think Lonnie, I'm not trying to say that it's like, yeah, Lonnie sucks.
Yeah.
No, I think Lonnie has matured a lot from when he was here at his first go-around. Lonnie just, you know, he kind of had to be buffeted around a little bit. And I talked to somebody the other day that said he's really he's kind of...
Good.
He's a different guy than he was. Yeah,
good. That's good to hear. NFL stuff. Stephon Gilmore signs with the Vikings 1 year up to $10 million. The Raiders named Gardner Minshew their starting quarterback for the upcoming season. All right, our baseball talk in that segment... which was, you know, 3-4 minutes ago, was presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Up next, stock up, stock down from the Texans in their game over the weekend, and we do at 7:20, acknowledge me. We're acknowledging Astros. We're acknowledging stuff from the Texans broadcast. We're even acknowledging Travis Kelce, believe it or not. We will get to all of that in the 7 o'clock hour, coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.